Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this new day. We thank you for how you continue to provide us with rain and the things that we need to, for the crops to grow and the lawns to stay green, and everything looks so green and pretty for this time of year. We're past the middle of July, and we know that there can still be a dry spell this summer, but you sure have sent us rains, and you sent it to us in, for the most part, little portions here. I know other places in the country there have been tremendous flooding, but you have blessed us by just watering the land. So we thank you for that, but we also thank you for your word, especially as we now dig in and study it a little bit more, look into the original language that it was written in, and the language that was given to Moses to write the Torah at the time of Mount Sinai. And so we know that the Hebrew language was used to write the Old Testament primarily. Almost all the Old Testament is in Hebrew. And so it's, I think, important for us, not necessarily to have to be able to read it and recite it and everything, but to know how you put things together and how it's so picturesque. And we know, Lord, you know, Hebrew is an Eastern language, and Eastern languages are often more picturesque than Western languages, but we just thank you for the detail in this language. And so I now pray, Lord, that I can do justice to it in explaining things as best I can, and what I've seen as I've gone through Psalm 119. So we'll prepare to grow in our understanding of the message you were trying to impart in this psalm. So we thank you for it. We thank you for the people who have come here and are present here, and we thank you for those who may be listening in as well. And so we just ask for a blessing on all those who have come this morning to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just I'm not even going to do by way of review, because I think I covered it pretty thoroughly last week. I'll get them. This is the next page on our list of handouts. So So I encourage you, if you have the Hebrew letters, the first handout I gave you that we talked about, it's kind of be helpful to have that in front of you. And then the pictures of each of the letters is the second page I gave you last week. And then the third page I gave you last week was the first six Hebrew characters. And from the Aleph to the Beit to the Gimel to the Daleth to the He to the Vav, those six Hebrew characters are the six first ones that we got in that pages 1 and 2. We didn't have them numbered last week, but I now have set numbers to it, and so they were numbers 1 and 2, and now I have available all the way through page 10. And page 10, the last one on the back of page 10, or on page 10, is the Tav, which is the 22nd character in the Hebrew alphabet. So they're all in order. We took our best attempt to describe how it reads. You know, I won't be reading necessarily in total detail other than what's on the sheets themselves to interpret what it says in each verse. So So we'll get to that as we start our teaching on the Aleph. The Aleph is the first character in the Hebrew alphabet. 8 verses, and we'll talk about that, and then go on to the Beit and the Gimel and so forth, and try to get, if possible, to number 10. We probably won't make it, but we'll just we have it available on the handouts I've given you. And the 10th character is the Yod. You know, I talked about the importance of some of these specific characters that are described here, and the ones that I put a lot of emphasis on because they're used quite often in the Hebrew letter or writings. And I think the Hey, the Hey, the Vav, and the Yod. And I explained to you why I think those are, you know, kind of stand out to me. And because I've not seen anybody else write about it, I may be totally wrong, but I don't think so. Because the picture of those characters, the Hey, the Hey in Hebrew is literally like a breath. If you breathe out, you'd go like Hey. And so the Hey is that picture. And so as I described last week, the Hey is a picture of a window. The window, you can connect it possibly and somewhat to the ark, to Noah's ark, because there was a window at the top of the ark. But I think the window to see out or send out. But also the Hey can just strictly mean behold. And so I think the Hey is important in our understanding. And then following that with the Vav, which is the sixth character on the alphabet. And that's the Vav is literally, I believe, a picture of the nail or the hook. And so I've connected it very closely, in my estimation, to the work of Christ on the cross. Now, it has other purposes. It's used very often in the Hebrew language, but I like to, you know, see it as a picture. And then the other one is the last one we have in the handout this morning, and that's the Yod. And the Yod is the hand of God. And I think all those picture God, or the work of God, or the characters, the three persons in one of the triune God. So that's how I look at it. Others may have other thoughts about it. But so we're going to start right away this morning with the handout from last week, which is starts with the Aleph. The Aleph, the Beit, and the Gimel on the first half of the page, and on the back half, the Daleth, the Hey, and the Vav. So we'll cover two of those three important, what I believe, important words in the Hebrew alphabet. But we'll cover them all. And so the way I'm going to do this, let's see, I got to get my. What I did was, it's down. It's under the other book. I'm going to read from my NIV version, which is called a Prophecy Study Bible. And so if you have the NIV, we'll agree on the words. But if you have other translations, King James, any of the other translations, it may vary a little bit on the words. But when we go to try to interpret it into Hebrew, you have to take that into consideration and see how it compares to what we wrote on the line for that particular character. So have in front of you the sheet with Psalm 119, starting with the Aleph character at the top. And so I'm going to read from the NIV Bible, Study Bible, and I'm going to read it, all 8 verses to begin with. And then I'm going to go back and take it verse by verse. And we'll look at the handout that we made and the key characters, because each character, or the beginning character of each of these verses in this section, are depicted by the Aleph. The Aleph is the start of each one of these 8 verses. And so we'll get to that, and you can follow the sheet that we put together and see what we mean by this. So let me read how it is in our regular Bibles. You follow along in whatever Bible translation you have and notice any differences, and if they're significant, we bring it up. But the first two verses start the same way, with blessed. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. That's verse 1. And verse 2 is, blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Important things in a relationship with God. And so this starts this longest psalm. And so we'll talk more about it when we go to taking it verse by verse. But let me read on and finish the 8 verses here. Verse 3 reads, they do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. That sounds pretty good. Verse 4, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. God's given us the rules, the law, the way to understand what he expects. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. The writer making that plea because he knows he hasn't been able to do that, I believe. None of us can totally, but we're to keep working at it and keep trying to follow God's ways as best we can, and then repent when we go the wrong direction. Verse 6, then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. So the writer's again is saying, If I just follow your commands, Lord, there's no reason I would be put to shame. And so he's including that in his plea. Then I would not be ashamed when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. So giving God the praise, that's always something we need to think about, consider, and do. Give him the praise with an upright heart. If our heart is right with God, and then we can praise him, we can talk to him, we can ask him, we can seek his favor, whatever it is that we're looking from to get from the Lord. And then verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. And that plea, in times of trouble or danger or whatever it might be, we need the Lord to give us guidance and direction to keep us on the right path. So, all right, now, that in mind, in English, in this translation, you can consider anything that may be a little different in your translation. But I'm going to go down now, verse by verse, and talk about how these start. And the first character in each one of these verses is the Aleph. And the Aleph is that picture, as I've described before, of the ox. The ox. And so it's like the one who pulls the cart. It also can simply mean, in common language, the first. It's the first, and the Aleph is the first in order of things. So God's orderly fashion, and keep that in mind. So the ox or first is there. Now the first two verses begin the same way, blessed. And that word blessed, you see on the sheet, actually in English, the translation from Hebrew to English uses the E instead of the A for those two words. It's just the sound of it, Esher. Esher is blessed in Hebrew. And so it sounds a little bit more like an E than an A when you pronounce it. But it is that character. It's the character of the olive, the ox symbol. And so it says there in verse 1, blessed, I'm just reading it in English as it's translated from the Hebrew. Blessed the upright in the way who walk in the law of Jehovah. And I prefer to use Yahweh there. It's the same word in Hebrew translated, but it's really Yahweh, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And so that's how it ends, the law of the Lord, Yahweh. But the importance here is that the blessed begins in both of those first two verses, and it literally is the spelled out. It's the Aleph. It starts with the Aleph character, the first character, followed by the She'in. The She'in, and I won't do this with every word. I'm just kind of giving you how you break this down. That first word, Esher, or blessed in English, is Aleph, She'in, Resh, Yod, four Hebrew characters. And that is translated into English as blessed. And so both the first two verses begin that way. Blessed, blessed are, blessed thee. Upright in the way who walk in the law of Jehovah or Yahweh, and blessed are those keeping his testimonies who seek him with the whole heart. Now sometimes when you translate the Hebrew to English, it's kind of hard to make it understandable in some of the things. But we tried to take it as best we can from the interlinear Bible that I showed you last week that I have. Now I have my magnifying glass in case I need to read anything. The letters are so small that you have to have a magnifying glass when you get to my age. So. Anyway, so we have those first two lines of the Aleph section of Psalm 119, and how it would be translated into English. So you have that on the page. And then in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and really 8, the other six verses, it's a little tricky to understand, but it does begin. Each of those verses does begin with the olive, the ox symbol, but sometimes in order to translate it into English, you might have to flop the words around to make it flow. And so, verse 3 is really an adverb, is the key verse that is another a word. Which would be like the olive, they also, and it would be in our language an adverb. It's a describer of it. They also do not work evil. They walk in his ways. And you can compare how I've tried to follow the translation in the interlinear Bible. And so you can take whatever time you want to spend on this to compare it. Compare it to your Bible, see the differences, and make of it what you want to. But I'm just kind of giving you the overview, and I'm not going to dwell on every one of these this heavily, but I'm doing this first one so you have an idea how you start to interpret. So verse 3, we have, they do not work evil, they walk in his way. And then verse 4, it begins with what we would say in English is you, speaking to another person. But the Hebrew word that's there, and it's the first character, like the olive, ata. Ata which starts with the same character, the olive. And it says, you have commanded to carefully keep your precepts. And then we go on to the fifth one, and that reads, when you translate it into English, as a pronoun to the first word, which is there, which is a call, and that's it basically means, oh, that my ways, and then it goes on with the rest of the were fixed to keep your statutes. So again, it follows the pattern that the first character in that line, in that verse, is the olive. And then we go on to the six. It starts with then, which in our language would be an adverb. It says, I shall. And that word in Hebrew is azu, which is an olive and a zayin together. But it would also fit, not be ashamed when I look to all your commands. And then seventh, I will thank you. And that is kind of described there in another two-letter word in Hebrew, the ava. And it reads, I will thank you with integrity of heart in my learning the judgments of your righteousness. And then it finishes up with a your, which is an adjective. Again, it starts with, but the character in Hebrew is still the olive that it begins with. And statutes is that word. And in Hebrew, it's as or as. And then it reads, I will keep, do not utterly forsake me. I know that's a lot of detail, and I'm not going to go into all these in that kind of detail, but I want you to know how you kind of look at what it's saying. Look at it in our English language. Look at it how it's would be translated, at least the version that I see here translated, and compare. And see if it gives you the same picture, or is there a little different picture in some of them. And I haven't analyzed it to that degree yet. I probably will at some point in time to take and analyze each one of these sections and see how it compares from the English to the Hebrew and back and forth. And so since the Hebrew is the original language, I think it, as best you want to know or want to find out, I think it's always good to look back at the original and see how God gave it to Moses in the Hebrew language. So now I've found a lot of mistakes as we've gone through this interlinear Bible, but I've tried to, you know, put it down in a way that is as accurate as I can possibly write it. So, but a further study of it you may find some errors in the translation. So anyway, that's kind of, I'll stop there with the olive. You can do what review and search and see what you see if you have a interlinear Bible or other translations that you could go to in Hebrew and see how what I've translated to, or the interlinear Bible I have translates it to. And but the point is, in the interlinear Bible, the first character of each one of those lines is the olive. And it may kind of jump around with another Hebrew word, but it always remains consistent that the olive starts each of the lines. So there are eight of them. Sometimes I think, as I've gone on in some of the other characters, there ends up being more than eight Hebrew characters in a grouping of eight. So, but I won't belabor that with you. So anyway, so the olive meaning first, meaning the ox who pulls the cart, and so you have the picture that's painted with this first eight verses. Now let me go on to the second one, which is the bait. And the bait in general pictures the house or a place to go into. Maybe it's a family house, maybe it's the temple, maybe it's a place where they meet, a synagogue type of thing. It can be used in many different fashions, but it basically means bait. And the first characters here in each one of these still has the bait character, the house, as the first character in each line, 9 through 16. But each of these words that started from English translation are really prepositions. And so I'm going to read it by the preposition that begins the message after I read what our English version of this second section of Psalm 119, the bait. It reads, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Question. "By living," and answering it, "by living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord Yahweh. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. As one rejoices in great riches, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." So I'm going to go a little quicker through this one. Not belabor it so much with the detail, but you see the first word in English are all prepositions. By, with, in, another blessed. This is a different blessed than the one that was up with the olive. This is a blessed that is a Hebrew word, Barak. That's an interesting word. Do we know a president that was by that name? Anyway, Barak, which can be translated blessed in Hebrew, in English. And then it finishes with another with, and then three more ends. And so I'm just going to read through them quickly again, the Hebrew translation here. And you can see how else it reads, and then you've got the sheet of paper. You can go back and compare it yourself to the English, whatever English translation you have, and see how consistent it is or if there's something significantly different. By what shall a young man purify his way to keep it according to your word? Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commands. Verse 11, in my heart I have hidden your word, that I might not sin against you. And then 12 is, blessed are you, O Jehovah, or Yahweh, teach me your statutes. 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. 14, in the way of your testimonies, I have rejoiced as over all riches. In your precepts, teachings, I will meditate and I will regard your ways. And then the 16, in your statutes, I will delight. I will not forget your word. And these are all, I think, things that should be reflected upon and remembered, because it's the importance of God's word. It's consistently reminded how important God's word is to follow. And if we want to be right with God and right with our fellow man, we need to seek God's way, his word, and to the best of our ability, follow his ways. So, all right, so that's the bait. Which means house. And then the next one on the first page is the gimel. And the gimel in Hebrew, as we talked about last week, is a picture of the camel. And the camel is an important animal, particularly in the deserts, you know, to go long distances, to travel, to carry a load. And the camel can go a long ways without being watered and so forth. So the camel is a very important animal in the desert land. And so the gimel is the picture of the camel. And you can kind of see the little hump in it in the picture that's the gimel is depicted as. All right, so I'm gonna read it from the English again. Starts in verse 17 with, "Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Verse 19, "I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me." Verse 20, "My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times." 21, "You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands." 22, "Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes." 23, "Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees." And 24, "Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors." And I'll just go through the gimel at the beginning of each word, and we have in brackets, because it's not always the very first word, but the character, the symbol is always there in each one of these lines that start. So sometimes it doesn't read well if you put that first, and so you have to kind of put it in order as if you would to understand it, what's being said. So verse 17 is grant, and grant is the word there that's gamal in Hebrew, and so that's a G word, which is the same as the gimel. "To your servant that I may live, and I will keep your word." Verse 18, it starts with open, and the Hebrew word there is gelah. "Open my eyes, and I will see wonderful things from your law." The third, verse 19, the Hebrew word there is elyon, which is Yair in Hebrew. "I am an alien in the earth. Hide not your commands from me." Verse 20, the Hebrew word is gerak, which is crushed, means to be crushed. But it reads, "My soul is crushed for the longing to your judgments in every season." 21, gerar, which is translated rebuked in English, "You have rebuked the proud, the cursed ones who wander from your commands." Verse 22, the gimel word is galal, and it means to roll. So roll from me reproach and scorn, for your testimonies I have kept. 23, the Hebrew word is gaham, and it can mean also. "Also sat princes against me speaking, but your servant meditates on your laws." And then 24 is another gaham, which is also, "And your testimonies are my delight, men of my counsel." So that's the first page. We got through that. I'm going to speed it up a little bit. So, but stop me if you have a question or want to, you know, want me to slow down so you can kind of follow it. But I'm trying to do it in an orderly fashion. On the back side of that page, the daleth. The daleth is the fourth character in the Hebrew alphabet and literally means the door. So the door to something, and the door is, we know, is a very important thing because it keeps in or out. And so we have a door in our house, we have a door in the church, we have doors in most places, particularly in the age we're in, because there's a lot of people that want to break in, want to steal something, want to do something wrong. But it's also for protection and so forth. So the Daleth represents the door. And so I'm going to read it in English. The eight verses there from 25 to 32. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. I have chosen the way of truth. That's a reflective word, reflective phrase. I have set my heart on your laws. How can we know the truth? We got to have a relationship with God and his word. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on God's laws, on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord, Yahweh. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. And I'm just going to go quickly through the Hebrew of the Daleth, and we'll stop there for today. Pick up with the hey and the vav next week, which are, for me, very important ones. But the first word that's the Hebrew word is dabag, and it means clings, stick to, or clings. Clings to the dust, my soul. Give me life according to your word. And so there's really two D words, dabag, and there's a later one at the end of the sentence, it's dabar. So that's kind of unusual. We have another one down below in 28. So this one has some duplicate D words here. So it's interesting to see that. Verse 26, my ways, Derek is the ways, I have declared and you answered me, teach me your statutes. And then it repeats in 27, the way, which is Derek, of your precepts, make me understand, and I will meditate on your wonders. 28, the word is daleth in Hebrew, and in English it translates to drops. Drops my soul with grief, in other words, you're sunken. Drops my soul with grief, strengthen me according to your word. And again, the debar ends that phrase. So word is at the end of that phrase. So there's double words in the Daleth. 29, the way. And the word is Derek. We had it before a couple times up above. We have it both here and in verse 30 as well. In 29, it's the way of lying, remove from me. Don't lie. And with your law, favor me. And then 30 is the way of truth. So lying versus truth. The way of truth, I have chosen your judgments. I have held level. 31, I have clung. I have clung, which is similar to clings up above. And it's the same Hebrew word, but it's pronounced a little bit different in English because of tense, clings versus clung. It's dabak. To your testimonies, O Jehovah or Yahweh, do not shame me. And 32 is again the way, which is Derek, of your commands. I will run, for you shall enlarge my heart. And I think we'll have to stop there for those who are singing to get ready and go to prayer if they choose to. So we will pick up there. I didn't get quite as far as I thought I would, but we're we're doing okay. So we'll keep going next week, and we'll see if we can speed things up a little bit. By all means, take a little time during the week and look this over, and then read the Bible that you're most comfortable with. If you have access to a Hebrew Hebrew Bible or an interlinear Bible, so you have both the translation.
You can get it on the Bible Hub.
Bible Hub on the internet. Bible Hub has it that way, so you can use the internet if you choose to study it a little bit more. But if it's sufficient, what I'm trying to do here to give you a sense of it, that's what all I really want to accomplish. So we'll keep going on it, and we have 10 total pages to go through here, with the 22 characters that in Psalm 119. But we'll get through it, hopefully, maybe in a couple more weeks. I could be optimistic, but 2 or 3 weeks, we'll see how it goes. I won't elaborate so much on things. I'll just kind of read through the English and read through the Hebrew translation of it, and we'll leave it at that. But any questions or any comments, I would appreciate. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all your word. We thank you for encouraging us to get a little glimpse of the original language of the Old Testament, the Hebrew language. And I personally believe, Lord, that it's your language, and you gave it to Moses and to others of those who came before, maybe even to Adam, maybe even to Noah. I don't know for sure, but I think it's been around since you created man. So I thank you, Lord, for this word. I ask you to guide each one of us to greater understanding of the word as we read it from Psalm 119. I thank you for this psalm. I thank you as I look back on when I first became aware of this 20 some years ago, and I just thank you for the excitement I felt when I saw, wow, this is unique, and I didn't know all the intricacies of it. But thank you for the time you've given us now to study it, and for Karen and I to put this together to give the class somewhat of a guideline. So I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share Psalm 119, and I thank you for all of your word. But I thank you now, Lord, for our time of worship that we will enter into. I just pray for each part of our worship service that it will bless the people who come into this place and the people that may be hearing over the internet, and that what will be shared in our time of service, including the music. I thank you for the songs that Charmaine has chosen for today. I look forward to singing them and hearing them, and I thank you for her work on that and her playing. And so I thank you for the music. I thank you for the prayers. I pray that if there are prayers that have been answered for people and they want to lift up their praise to God and share it with others of us, we can all celebrate together answers to prayer. But those who are in need, heavy need, Lord, we pray for their well-being. We pray for their healing. If healing is in your plans, that we could see that and praise you for it. We just thank you for all these things. And then we pray for the word that will be shared again from Genesis. And we pray for Raymond's message that he will deliver this day, that it will be a blessing to those who hear, whether or come here to hear or hear it on the internet. I just thank you ahead of time for all that you're preparing us for this day. And then take us when we leave this place to take what we've heard, what we've learned, what we've grown to understand, and be willing to share it with others. Even maybe some that are resistant to hearing, that we can be gentle, we can be friendly, we can be loving towards them, but not be afraid to share the truth. So Lord, continue to build us up in understanding the truth in your word, that we can be witnesses, that we can share, we can be witnesses for others who don't want to hear even. And so thank you, Lord, for this time and this day, and we ask for a blessing on our service and the rest of the day for the people here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.